But the Rambam goes on, but in Sukkot, it was a greater. The Chag of Sukkot, so it's the Migdash and Simcha Yisera. Sukkot had a very special Simcha associated with it. And then we smacht them with Nehash and Malokich and Shuvas Yom. The Rambam describes at the very end of this parak, I don't want to go into the parts which are particular, the simplest Beis HaShoeva, it's not the time of Sukkot. But the Rambam at the very last halacha in Parak Ches tells us, HaSimcha, what is the mitzvah of Simcha? She yismach odom asiyas ha-mitzvah, is that a person should have joy associated with doing the mitzvah. Ava'avas ha-keil, and be possessed with love of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and Shetziva Mahan. Now this is Avodah Gedolah, this is a very, very significant form of service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Cholomanei Atzmo b'simcha zu, a person that doesn't involve himself in the simcha, the royally parami man who is worthy that the Rabbeinu Shalom should take him to task. Shenemar, Tachas ha-shalayavatos ha-shem alakecha b'simcha v'tuv leivo. This pasuk is lifted from the Teichach. And there we read that one of the sources of the Teichach that the Rabbeinu Shalom brings forth Midas Adin is Tachas ha-shalayavatos ha-shem alakecha b'simcha v'tuv leivo. That we approach the Rabbeinu Shalom's mitzvah is burdensome rather than as opportunities. So the mitzvah of Simcha is to bring forth our focus and the joy she yismach odom asiyas a mitzvah v'avas akel she tzivu v'hem. V'chol ha-megiz daito v'chol ha-kobod la'atmo, and one who's hoarding, and he says, I have to be a very dignified person. And these type of umiskabed be'enov, and I have to act in a very honorable fashion. Umikomos elu chayte v'shayta. This person is most sinful and foolish. Val zehizir shleimo v'omer al tzhar l'fnei melech. We should not be haughty when we stand before the Rebbeinu Shalom. V'chol amashkul atzmo, that we put ourselves to the side, our own egos. Umeikul gufo, and we give away of our dignity, and become us elu. Who are godo, this is the person that is great, and a chubit that is honored, ha'ibed me'avu, that worships the Rabbeinu Shemana from a sense of Avos Hashem. And he brings the classic case in the Nach of this. David Melech Yisrael Omar, David, when the Yaron Hashem was brought to Yerushalayim, so David HaMelech was criticized by his wife, that he acted in an undignified fashion. But this was a very serious critique. She was a very serious woman. It's not to be taken lightly. She was Michal Vashol, the daughter of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was known for his tznius, for the extreme modesty of his bearing. Chazal praised him for it. She understood that the halach of Melech, she had grown up with this, of some tosim alecha Melech, that we have to stand in awe of the king. For the king to be able to function, we cannot look at the king as just someone else, the guy that sits next to him. There has to be a certain aura about him. And she felt, coming from the house of Shaul, who was possessed with a great sneers, that David did not live up to the example of her father Shaul. And this was not only a personal failing, her critique, but her critique was that he had degraded the office of the Melech itself. So the critique was a very, very serious critique. It's likely that, you know, it's undignified. You know, I have to have, you know, my collar is exactly stiff and perfect, and my tie can't jump to the side. You know, because they'll take a picture of me with my tie flying. She was a very serious woman. And yet, Chazal are critical of her. And David HaMelech's response was, Unakalaisi oid mizuis. Halavai, that I find the strength within me to be even more forgiving of my dignity. Va'yisi shofel ba'ina. And I should view myself as a lowly person before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Meaning, when it comes to rejoicing in a mitzvah before the Rabbeinu Shalom, I have no personal strength. It's no personal agenda that I cannot engage in the mitzvah fully because it's inconsistent with my ego. The honor and greatness is to express this simcha before the Rabbeinu Shalom Shanema. He was unbridled in his simcha. And the sense of simcha, where does it come from? What's its source? So we find the Ramban, the Chumash, he talks about in Parashas Ra'eh, the mitzvah of Simcha Sachag. The Ramban tells us that is a special simcha, as the Rambam recorded, for all 7 days of the Chag. Yuzman simcha, this is particularly a time of simcha. We'll come back to the Rokeach, we'll also touch upon this. Shabeirach Hashem Yisrael b'chol tfuos 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 yadecha. That you've seen the culmination of a year's work, and the farming cycle, Sukkot, ends the cycle. By this time, everything has been hauled away, harvested, packed away, processed, put into the house. And one feels a sense of relief and joy that he's prepared for the winter. Now he has to plant again soon after Sukkot and start again, but he's not going to have crops until next spring. So what he has, this is his life, his livelihood. Well, you say, ach, sameach lefonov, and you should be especially happy before him. The time to chaygu is chag Hashem. That you should give to a special thanksgiving to the Rabbeinu Shalom on the fact that you have now gone through the time of the harvest. The Simcha Sachag, the Ramban tells us, stems from a sense of Hidot. Thanksgiving to the Rabbeinu Shalom, an appreciation that the gift that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. The Rokeach, also on Parshas Ra'eh, notes what has long been noted. There is a mitzvah of Simchas Achag and Pesach. There's no real mitzvah of Simchas Achag and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Different. The nature of the Yom Tovim are different. To a certain extent, even questionable if we have to have it was debated if there has to be any Simchas Yontif on Rosh Hashanah. There were those, in fact, that used to fast on Rosh Hashanah. He said there's no mitzvah of Simcha associated with it. We sort of take a middle course. We have Sudas Yontif, but we don't go all out. It's not Sukkot. On Pesach, there's no mention in the Torah of Simchas Achag, despite the fact that the mitzvah applies. So the Rokeach tells us, V'samachta l'nemar, V'samachta v'pesach. There's no possible of a samachta v'pesach. Ki atfua v'ayayin v'sodr. The grain has not yet been harvested. The wine is also, the grapes have not been harvested. V'ne yodeyam tilka, he does not know what the spring will bring. Will he have favorable weather conditions which will allow him to see brochen what he's done? Or it's all going to disappear before his eyes? Avavatzeres kvar atfua k'tzur. By Shavuos we find there's a mitzvah sachar of simcha because the grain has been harvested already. And by the time Sukkot comes, not only is the wine been harvested, grapes, it's been made into wine, it's packed away, the grain has been packed away. And therefore we find in Sukkot, two mentions of Simcha. Because there's an unusual amount of Simcha, there's an unusual amount of Hidor, which is associated with the Chag of Sukkot. Hidor is a very, very essential aspect. It's an essential aspect of the Chagim, and it's an essential aspect of Avodah. It's one of the core issues in serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is Hidor. When we say that a Shira only comes mitoch Simcha, means when a person has Simcha Saleiv, he has a feeling of the bracha that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has given him, then Shira is not an external song. He can listen to music. There's a difference of listening to music and experiencing music. Shira is an expression of the heart, of the lev. Tachas ha-shaloi avatas ha-shem alatecha v'simcha v'tu lev. It's an expression of the lev. Nechagim yavirin expressions of Aido. The most obvious is the halal that we recite. It's the expression of Aido. But it also has to do with the simcha sachag. The simcha which is associated with Sudas Yom is an expression of Hidor. Hidor is a very, very central tenet of what Klal Yisrael is. We find Hidor in the Torah, mentioned two of the places. We have Hidor which is associated with the Birchas HaMazon. The only bracha that we have in the Torah is the Birchas HaMazon. All the other brachas are rabbinic in nature. So we have a chalta, a savata, a rachta, zubirchas azon. A rachta is the bracha of azon. So we understand. I ate a meal, so I thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The azon is a kol, he sustained me. Ala aretz, zubirchas aretz. Hatoiva is a horatoiva, zev ala vodon, is to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in rachin. Which now we ask for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to bring forth the Mikdash and restore Yerushalayim. In the time of the Mikdash, we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to sustain Yerushalayim in the Mikdash. What's the necessity of Birchas Haaretz? I ate. So good. So I said a bracha. Azanas Olam Kulo, and then Azanas Hakom. So what's the further necessity of any other bracha? But when we give a door to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, a person that feels, is joyful, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's bracha is not limited. It's an expression of everything in his life. And therefore, each time that I eat, and I thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I have a state of mind which allows me to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I don't limit it merely to the food that I've eaten. But I thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the larger brachas. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. He gave us bris. Whether the bris of Torah or the bris of Mila, depending on very text exactly. Ufidisanum beis avodim, the Rabbeinu Shalom has redeemed us from a time and throughout history. We thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for the Migdash and for Yerushalayim. Hidor is something which is all encompassing. We find that also in Parshas Kisavo, the very same notion. That a person brought Bikur, he planted, the trees gave forth the first fruits. So he went forth and he marked them, which the first fruits were. When the time comes, he takes those first fruits. He brings them to Yerushalayim. He presents them. It's one of the 24 Matnas Kehuna. It's to bring them to the Beis Hamikdash. He places them down in the Azara. But and there are two halachas in Bikurim. There's Mezi, that he has to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim. And there's the halach of Kriya, that he has to recite the parasha of Arami Yovir Ovi. The fact that he comes to Yerushalayim, so he shows the fact that this bracha comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I have to travel to the Mikdash Hashem to give thanks. And how can we practically thank in this world? One of the practical thanks is at least to express our appreciation to those that are Meshorsei Hashem, those that take care of the Beis Hamikdash and see that we have a functioning Beis Hamikdash. So I come and I give them Matnas Kehuna. But it doesn't. We don't start with that and end with that. But what does a Jew do when he comes to give thanksgiving to the Bikurim? He goes back all the way to the dawn of Jewish history. Arami Ovid Ovi. That Yaakov Avinu went to the house of Lavan, and Lavan Bikish Lakar HaSakon, as we say in the Haggadah. That you could have succumbed at that time. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam brought us forth from that circumstance. Is then we deal with the fact, the portion that we recite at the Leila Seder, that the Rabbeinu Shalom brought us down to the Mitzrayim, and all the difficulties that we faced there. And finally, the Rabbeinu Shalom took us forth from Mitzrayim. Vayivieinu olamokom hazeh, and he brought us there to Yisrael, where I now have my farm, and I have my business, and I have fruits, and I come to water, offer them as thanksgiving before the Rabbeinu Shalom. It does not suffice in our door to thank for this particular moment, but it has to be a very expensive thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The entire sweep of events which has brought me to this moment, if not for the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom had caused Yaakov Avinu to be spared, I would not be standing with my 2 feet on Admas HaKadosh. If he hadn't brought us forth from Mitzrayim, then how would I be in Eretz Yisrael? Is why the Eidol Amor from us. To realize all the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the chesed that he does for us that spans the generations, not only the chesed of our own lives. A point mentioned other times. My grandfather, my father's father, was a builder of chesed. He was a widower. He had no children from his first marriage. In the year 1913, he knew, because of his, he had been in the Tsar's army in 1895, and his association still with people of the military, that he should expect that war is going to come to Europe again. And he correctly understood the fact that if war comes to Europe again, he was a man in his 40s at that time, that he would be drafted again into the army. And he said 1 3-year stint in the army, in the Tsar's army, was enough for him. He wasn't interested in serving a second time. So what did he do? He had no wife, and he didn't have children, so he went straight south through Galicia, through Italy, and he sailed to the United States. He married again in the United States. My father, Allah Shalom, was a child of his. He died in 1935. And I asked myself how he understood his own life. Very difficult life. He left behind the place of his family, in the town that he came from. He came to a country which was very, very far from his experiences as a Belzer Chosid, to come to the United States in 1913. Died in 1935. I cannot imagine how exactly he understood his whole life, his own life. He did whatever he felt he had to do. When I look back, 70 years after the fact, I thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for his enormous chesed. There are almost no survivors, from not only from my father's family, even from his extended family. They succumbed, as basically all of Polish Jewry did in the Holocaust. I have one distant cousin bearing my same family name who lives in a suburb of Johannesburg in South Africa. His father survived the war. So, when I thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, I have to thank him for the circumstances which brought forth the fact that my grandfather, for reasons that he could not fully comprehend, why the Rabbeinu Shalom should have placed him in such a position to come to the new world, that he died in 1935. He died before the Holocaust. When I look back, I see the enormous chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for me. I can sit here today because the Rabbeinu Shalom forced my grandfather to leave the European continent. If he does, not only for that which we personally have benefited, but how we personally benefited by the Rabbeinu Shalom's chassodim from over the generations. How central this is in our thought. We can see in a Gemara. Chanina bar Papa, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Staf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. And it's rather interesting. I am fascinated by the editing of Shas, how it was edited. Shas is a mixture of halachas and the agadas. Agadas that are non-halachic portions of Shas. The agadas which relate to the themes of a Masechta are interspersed within the halachos of that Masechta. Because we have to understand two things. We have to properly observe the halacha is not something which we do in a computer-like fashion, but it should stem from passion, from feeling, from an understanding of what's correct, what's right. And therefore, Chazal gave us the agodas to inspire us, that we should have inspiration as far as the mitzvah. It shouldn't just be a dry observance. Omar Rav Chanina bar Papa, a person that benefits from this world without having made a bracha is kilu gaidul hakadosh baruch hu kneses yisrael. He's stolen from the Rabbeinu Shemayel, and he's stolen from kneses yisrael. Now the fact that he's stolen from the Rabbeinu Shemayel, the Gemara just said before this. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel kol anenem min oilu mazeh b'lei bracha. A person benefits from this world without making a bracha. As if he took a carbon of the Beis HaMikdash and he took it for his own use. The entire world, the heaven, the earth, and everything in it belongs to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbi Levi Rami, and Rabbi Levi asks that David HaMelech seems in fact to contradict himself. We know that the Mizmor for Yom Rishon is Lashem Oratzim Loyo, Tevo Yoshvivo, that everything in the world is the Rebbeinu Shalom. And yet, we recite in the Tilla, in Tilim, which we recite as part of the Challah, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Boraz Nosan Lubnei Olam. The heavens are the sphere of the Rebbeinu Shalom, the earth belongs to us. In Lokashi, the Gemara says, Kam Kaidim Brocha, Kam La'acha Brocha. If we don't acknowledge the fact that we are accepting something from the Rebbeinu Shalom, a gift, then we have no right to take it. And it's kilu nenem mikotchi shemayim, as if we went to the Beis HaMikdash and violated a korban. But if we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for it, then the Rebbeinu Shalom allows us to partake of benefit in this world. And under those circumstances, of course, no son of Neyoda. So when Rav Chanina bar Papa says, kilu nenem ha'olam azeh b'lei brocha kilu goyzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we understand. He took it illicitly from the Rebbeinu Shalom without a brocha. What Knesset Yisrael? How does he affect the Jewish people? And he cites a pasuk in Mishlei. Shenemar goyzel ovivim, a person that steals from his father and his mother. Va'oimar, he says, ain pesha. What did I do that's wrong? So Shlomo HaMelech says about such a person, chavur hu le'ish mashches. He is the colleague of a very destructive person. And the Gemara will explain this. Rashi explains, Goyzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu es b'chosen. What does he steal from Knesset Yisrael? Knesset Yisrael, Kishechotu, when we sin, Kishechotu HaPeiros Leitim, the Rabbeinu Shalom does not give us bracha in our endeavors. And therefore, he brings forth the Klol on Klal Yisrael by his actions. And what is his attitude? There are people that sin, and they know they've done something wrong, but they felt compelled to sin under certain circumstances. It doesn't make them saintly people, but at least they are human beings. Human beings are frail, they have faults. We do things we're not supposed to sometimes. But if we acknowledge the fact that we stepped out of bounds, so then we have the possibility of going back and doing what we're supposed to. We're embarrassed by our own actions. But instead, ain pesha. They proclaim that there's nothing wrong with what I've done. And because he is very lax, so others see, and they learn from his example, Lassus came to act in similar fashion, and therefore he's called Chover Ishmashka. Now who was the Ishmashka that Shlomo HaMelech was referring to? So this very same Rabbi Chanina bar Papa continues. Who is Goyzel Ovi V'Imo in Ovi V'la HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ovi V'la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenema Halo Hu Avicho Kanecho Yichumish Dvorim refers to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as Avinu Shebashamayim. V'Imo L'Knesset Yisrael Knesset Yisrael is called Imo Shenema Shema B'nei Musar Avicho V'al Tito Yishtar Yisrael. The Torah of Klal Yisrael, which is informed us over the generations, we should not forsake it. And my chavur hu leish mashkes, what is the frame of reference of Shlomo HaMelech in his chavur hu leish mashkes? Is Omar Rab Chanina bar Papa chavur hu leYerovam ben Nevat. A very striking, shocking statement. He is a colleague of Yerovam ben Nevat, shehishchet et Yisrael Avim shebashamayim, that brought great devastation in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, the Yerovam ben Nevat, this most infamous of personalities, Shechot v'hechti es Yisrael, he sinned. But not only did he sin, he caused others to sin. Kachu choyte yomachti. So the person that doesn't make a bracha is a choyte yomachti. Let us consider for a moment in Tanakh, Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat was no simple sinner. One of the incidents, why did he sin? So Chazal tell us why he sinned. If he allowed the people in his kingdom to come to Yerushalayim to celebrate the Chagim in the Beit HaMikdash, so the halacha states that the only ones that are allowed to sit in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Mikdash, are the Malchei Beis Dovid, the kings of the house of Dovid. Now Yerovam was from. He would not come to Yerushalayim and violate that halacha and insist that he had the right to sit in the Beit HaMikdash. Admirable. But now he had a problem. If he came to Yerushalayim and Dovid HaMelech sat, or Shlomo, etc., Yerushalayim, the descendants of Dovid would sit in the Mikdash. So, and he wouldn't sit, so that would be a confession before everyone that he's not really the king. He doesn't have the full status of king. And this was not bearable to him. So what did he do? So he had to ban the people from going to the Mikdash, but he had to provide there was a religious observance. So he built his Avodah Zarah. For egotistical reasons. And to what extent he was willing, he was fanatical in his commitment to his Avodah Zarah. He was not easygoing about it. We know there have been fanatical over the Avodah Zarah in history. Terach was a fanatical over the Avodah Zarah. Why do I say he was fanatical? The people that worship Avodah Zarah in the world. But his son, Avram Avinu, was not a true believer. So what does he do with his son? He takes his son and he turns him over to Terach, to Nimrod's secret police. He has him put in jail for 10 years. And when that doesn't help, he turns him in again and they throw him into a Kibshon Aish. He's willing to murder his own son for his belief, for these type of beliefs. Yerovam ben Nevat is fanatical in his beliefs. One day he goes up to his altar to do the avodah, and he's struck with paralysis. Can't move his arm. So it's a pretty frightening thing that happens. And basically the Navi tells him that if he does tshuva, that he'll be restored to his health. And then he's restored to his health. And he's able to move his arm again. A rational person at that point in his life, the Rebbeinu Shalom has issued a warning. It's pretty clear cut from where it came. Yerovam was worthy of understanding that this warning came from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. But yet, Yerovam goes forward, undaunted and unchanged. He lives out the rest of his life. After such an incident, he was fanatically committed to the cause, his cause. So why do we say a person that didn't make a bracha is chavur hu leish mashkes? He's associated with Yerovam ben Nevat. Number two, we need to ask ourselves a second question. This type of behavior that Chazal described, that a person doesn't do a mitzvah, and then he goes on from not doing the mitzvah, and he does so in a public fashion, he displays his laxity, and he encourages others to follow his lead. So he's chayti machti as a rabbi. This is equally true of every avera. A person chas v'shalom is mechal Shabbos, and he goes around the street and he smokes his cigars, and he lets everyone know that he's around. He's also chayti machti. So why did we focus on Yerovam ben Nevat? The person on a bracha. Find many mitzvahs. A person didn't wear tefillin. A person didn't observe yom tov. Didn't observe kashrus. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah. And a person could be a chayti machti in all of them. So why, in fact, does the Gemara focus on the person that didn't make a bracha? The years fly by. 36 years ago, I was in the Boston Eretz Yisrael, and I was reviewing Parshas Akev. I said, it took long enough that I had a chance to go through a nice part of the parsha. And something struck me about Parshas Akev. When we see the sweep of the parsha, the parsha begins by Yaikev Tishmu Samishpatim Ailo Shmartem Vasisa my son. If you will be, observe the mitzvahs, Mishomer Hashem Elokecha L'chol Asher Brisva Es HaChesed Asher Nishba Lo Vitzecha, that he will observe for you, will preserve for you, perhaps, the covenant and the kindness of Shandish Bala Vasecha that he's sworn to the others. Vahevachon, he will love you. Vairachacho v'herbecha, and you will grow great numbers. Uveirach v'vitnecho, great in the progeny. Upriyad Vasecha, and that which grows in Eretz Yisrael. The goncha, your grain, tiroishcha, your wine, your tarecha, the oil, shkar alevhecha, v'ashtroes, tenecha, in cattle, alo adoma, shenishpa, la vasecha, los esnos. Boruch tiyah, mikolam. And you live in good health, v'yisir, Hashem, v'mcha, kol choyli, v'chol madri, mitzrayim. So here the Rebbeinu Shlomo starts off the parasha, and he tells us, if you want to be sustained in Eretz Yisrael, there's a contract. To live up to your part of the contract. Your part of the contract is to observe the mitzvahs. Then he begins another parsha. After this, the parsha goes on. And it tells us, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayom tishmeru lasos. Leman tichyun aravisam. Again, back to the theme at the beginning of the parasha. Uvosa virishtem esaret. You will come and inherit the land. Hashem nishba Hashem lavaseicha. Vizochartu eskol aderech. And remember all the way that you've traveled. Asher olichach Hashem alokecha zohar boim shonam amidbar, the 40 years in the midbar. Vayyanecha vayarivecha. And what happened? Vayachilach osamon asher lo yodaka. And you learned at that time. Tiyah kamotsu fi Hashem yichyaod. And we live. We are sustained by the Rebbeinu Shelanu and so on. And he goes through all the Nisan in the Midbar. And you come into a wonderful land, which you will not live in poverty. And then again, he shomer lechop, and tishkach at Hashem alokecho. No, forget the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Nevil tishmor mitzoyisu v'mishpoto. V'chul koyso, v'asher aruchi mitzav v'ayon. Again, don't forget the mitzvahs. Why? Pen tchoycho v'savoto, because maybe you will become satiated. And you'll become mighty, and you become possessed for Rom Lubavecha, you become possessed with yourselves. Vishachto as Hashem Elokecha, and you'll forget the Rebbeinu Shel Mutziyach Meiras Yisrael Beis Avot. V'amarta Lubavecha, and you'll come to the conclusion, well, what's the Rebbeinu Shel have to do with all of this? Chaychi ve'oitzim yodi, the talents that I have, the strength that I have, also li'as achaladah, that has made me wealthy. Is the Rebbeinu Shel warns us, Vishachto as Hashem Elokecha, and he'll fulfill his part of the covenant. Obviously, a very difficult proposition to live up to, for reasons that are less than apparent. That the Rebbeinu Shel has to warn us over and over again that there's a covenant in Eretz Yisrael. The covenant is we observe the mitzvahs, and the Rebbeinu Shel will give us brachos. The next parasha suddenly begins, Voyom Shachoyach Tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. Perhaps you will forget the Rebbeinu Shel. You will worship away the Zohar of Avatom. Yishtachavisu lahem. Is ha'idoyisi lochem ha'yoyim ki avotel v'idu. You will be driven from the land. Now the question is, how does this follow from what came before? How do we arrive at a state where Yom Shachayach Tishkach as Hashem Elokech? The Rebbeinu Shalom has given us, it would seem, ample warning of the consequences of straying from him. So the Sforno tells us, Yom Shachayach Tishkach, this will take place. If you will attribute your success to your abilities, and you will not thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for it, so ki avoto veidun b'shnei olamos, you will lose Eidom Hazeh and Eidom Haba. We are involved in a very practical world. And the Rebbeinu Shalom insists that in this practical world we not sit back, that we be active when we do. Judaism is not in that regard a fatalistic religion. No, sit back, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We are commanded by the Rebbeinu Shalom to be proactive. As the Gemara tells us in Brachos, v'asafta l'ganecha, that is a time for planting, there's a time for harvesting. And at each particular time of the year, you should be involved in the things that you're supposed to be involved in. Live a normal life in this world. Now, if I live a normal life, then I don't get up in January and start planting. Or I don't start planting in the middle of August in Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to rain for months. There's a planting season. The planting season is the beginning of Cheshvan, right after Sukkot, you plant. Because you know the rain is going to come soon, and will cause that, instead of rotting, it will bloom. So I am obligated as a Jew to live within the confines, the normal confines of the world around me. Those are the parameters within which the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to operate. From that sense of living in this fashion, I can become very used to the world, the natural order of the world, and my own wisdom, my own insight, which has caused me to succeed. I had this idea, and I was very successful because of this idea. This idea I had, and I failed. I got rid of it. I found something new. It works better than that. We progress in this world based on the progress of the human being. We gain greater insight into the world around us, a greater insight into the laws of nature, science, and we use them for our own good. We can reach a point that we are possessed with ourselves. I am so convinced of how mighty and how wise I am. Where's the Rebbeinu Shalom in all of this? Rav Shach, Zeich HaTzadik Livrocha, once discussed with a cardiologist the heart. He was fascinated by the heart, Rav Shach. The cardiologist said, what's your fascination? It's a pump. It's another pump. What are you fascinated with? Pretty strange pump. The Rebbeinu Shalom puts it on, and it lasts 70, 80, 90, 100 years, this pump. Try putting a fuel pump in the car and see how long it lasts. And under such rigorous use, never rests. My biceps get tired after a while. I worked, I slept, you know, tired, they hurt. Go to sleep, the Rebbeinu Shalom helps. Tomorrow morning you get up, you're ready to work again. The heart, 24/7, 365 days, it never shuts down. No downtime. Keeps going. It's awesome. But a person that loses sight of the hand of the Rebbeinu Shalom behind this world, is possessed with himself, what does he see? That's just a pump. Another type of pump, that's all. Nothing more. Now, how do we determine in this world where we wind up? Do we see a sophisticated pump or we see Yad Hashem? So the Sforno tells us, that depends. If we are Tevar Chayu, if we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for that which he's given us, in the middle of this parasha, which warns us about Barom Lubavos of Mishachachto, V'achalt over savot. Eat and be satiated. But then, V'erachto as Hashem alokecha l'oros atot v'sharno asamoz. Recite the Bricha Samoz. Thank the Rebbeinu Shalom. That which we have received. And this is the critical fact that this one tells us. Will we be over the way to Zoro? Will we forsake the Rebbeinu Shalom and see ourselves? Will we be ever cognizant of the Rebbeinu Shalom? If at the moment that we're successful, we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, and we realize that our success comes from him. And how do we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom? Not driving. Haidor comes from the lake, from Simchas Aleph. I am possessed with thanksgiving to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Then I won't forget the Rebbeinu Shalom. Otherwise, there's Varom Levovacha v'shachachta. Nasei koichi v'oitzim yodi osa liyasachay alas. Next, the Pshat of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that a person that doesn't make a bracha is chavru l'ish mashtas. This wasn't randomly chosen. This was specifically chosen. A bracha is very significant. And how we recite a bracha. Why? Because it makes me cognizant constantly of the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And therefore I live in a theocentric world. If I live in that fashion, I will not forget the Rebbeinu Shalom. The moment that I become lax in a bracha, I don't thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for that which I take from this world. I'm far from your own in the book. But I began the process. I've taken the first step away from the Rebbeinu Shalom and to the path that could lead me all the way to your own Menavot. And therefore, Chazal told us that who was the Chavru l'ish mashkas, the person that goes over the Imam that doesn't make a bracha, is Chavru l'ish mashkas. He's a colleague of your own Menavot. Your own Menavot is the last stop. What's the first stop? The first stop is how we make a bracha. And that's in your Haidah, Simcha Sachad. We thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for that which he's given us. That the bracha, the bounty that he's given us in this world, for the blessings of life, of family, of livelihood, of tranquility, gifts that are not to be taken lightly in Jewish history. There are few tranquil moments in Jewish history and few tranquil places. The Rebbeinu Shalom is kind enough that in our generation we lived relatively in tranquility and in a tranquil place. Very rare in Jewish history. I often point out Jewish history was so troubled that we refer to the golden era in Spain, the 13th century. If any of us lived in the golden era of Spain, we would be overwhelmed with the degree of persecution that took place. And in Jewish history, this is recorded as a golden era. I'll give you one example. The Ramban was forced, he had an apostate disciple, and he was forced to debate the Jewish view on Christianity with this apostate. Forced to debate before the king. The Ramban was very wise. He had no choice, but he was also very wise. He was the greatest rabbi of his time in Spain. He turned to the king at the beginning of the debate, and he says, "I want to be granted freedom of speech, that I can say whatever I want. Because otherwise, how can the king expect me to debate?" And the king, whatever his reasons, the king was fear-mongered. And the king told him, "You have absolute freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want." And the Ramban did. And he prevails in the debate. It happened this time of the year, before Shavuos. On Shavuos, the Ramban comes back to the Shul in Barcelona. And he gets up on Yom Tov to recount the debate which took place. And that which he had said in the debate. The bishops of Barcelona went to the king and said that the Ramban had humiliated in the synagogue in Barcelona the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion. It's true that the king gave him freedom of speech, but that was only during the debate. That was no longer during the debate, so he no longer had the right to speak negatively about the Catholic Church. And the Ramban sizes up the situation, and he decides that his life is in danger, and he flees Spain. And he lives out of years a lot of masakaitish. So imagine how difficult that was. The Ramban came to Yerushalayim. He's not of a minion of Jews in Yerushalayim when he came. But he felt he had no choice. He basically had to disappear off the face of the earth so that he should be beyond the reach of the Catholic Church. And I would presume, because the Arabs were strong in the Middle East at that time, he felt in the countries where the Muslims were powerful, the Catholic Church would not be able to kill him. So he comes to Yerushalayim, and he has eight Jews with himself. There are eight Jews in Yerushalayim. The Ramban is formidable enough as a personality that he travels to Hebron, and he finds two Sfarim, I believe brothers, and he prevails upon them to move from Hebron to Yerushalayim, and he establishes a minyan in Yerushalayim and goes to Ramban Shul. But this is the era, this is a golden era in Jewish history. So what are we to say in terms of the Hagdol that we have to give to the Ramban Shul? The idea of Simcha Tachag then is the Indian, as the Ramban describes it, is to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for the gifts that he's given us, to be Sameach B'mitzvayisuf, to thank him that we have the opportunity to serve him. I'll end with a bracha. It's a bracha that we recite very much in the Chag, and it's a bracha of Hidot. And I've been fascinated with this interpretation of this bracha ever since I discovered it. We have a bracha of Shechiyonu v'kiyonu v'kiyonu l'azman hazeh. It's a bracha of Hidot, which we give very fond throughout the year for Hidot, but it's a bracha which is particularly prominent on the Chag. And the question is that it seems a most redundant bracha. It's sort of like the unedited version that they had three words, Shechiyonu v'kiyonu v'kiyonu, and instead of crossing out two of them, somehow they printed all three. But two of them should have been struck, and one should have remained. But somehow we wound up with this threefold statement. The Nesivus, in his Haggadah on Pesach, explains this bracha, that there is not a single word extra here. There's no redundancy. Shechiyonu is that the Rebbeinu is of Am Yisrael Chai. We are alive. We're living. I made a bris for a grandson today, Baruch Hashem. The child's great-grandfather spoke. And he spoke about the other great-grandfather whom the baby was named after. And he said every time that he had a grandchild that was born, he was a Holocaust survivor. He had run away from Germany, apparently, as the war was beginning. And he ran there to Israel. So every time that a grandchild was born, he used to say again, the Rishon have not prevailed. So Am Yisrael Chai, not something to take for granted in this world. Chayom, he said, we say in Baruch Shalom, he said, the Rebbeinu Shalom is Chai Lo'ad, Chayom Lo'netzach. Chai is the Rebbeinu Shalom is present in the world. What is Chayom Lo'netzach? And he cites the Novi and Malachi. The Novi says, Ani Hashem lo ishanisi. I, the Rebbeinu Shalom, am unchanging. We change. The Rebbeinu Shalom is a constant. The same principles that the Rebbeinu Shalom had at the dawn of history as throughout all of history. It's Chayom Lo'netzach. That's the key mantra. We Jews, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us the Torah close to 3,500 years ago at Har Sinai to celebrate the Shavuos. And we're still living by the same code. The Vikimono. We're Am Yisrael Chai, and we possess the Torah, we live by the Torah. But unfortunately, Jewish history has taught us that the combination of both of those does not suffice to allow us to do a mitzvah. It's Vihigiyono, the Mesiva tells us that we have the practical circumstances in which to do that mitzvah. We have the freedom from persecution, the practical necessities. We have the cup of wine to make the kiddush on. We have a challah to eat as soon as yontif. The daughter of our generation, which was born immediately after the Holocaust, knows its history, knows how much we can have shechiyonu v'keimonu and not be able to do a mitzvah, not have a higiyonu. As we thank the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Chag in particular, the shechiyonu v'keimonu v'higiyonu, that the threefold gifts, that gift that we need from the Rabbeinu Shalom to allow us to do a mitzvah, has taken place. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that in the celebration of the Yom Tov we experience its simcha, a sense of thanksgiving, and joy possess us in Yom Tov, which is expressed in the midst of Simcha Zachar, and I grab Yisrael and Chag Sameach. I believe that it will be the last Tuesday night share until after the summer.